You know, we're in a housing boom, it seems, in America. They say it's slowing down a little bit. I can't see it around here. And there's some evidence that it's picking up again. But one of the bad things about the housing boom, and when there are a lot of people buying houses, is the marketing gets a little crooked sometimes. And the sale, many times the contractors, those who do the actual construction, are guilty of cutting corners and throwing them up. And then people buy those. They've been deceived and fooled and lied to. And they'll buy one of those houses only to find out it's not very long until they're falling apart. And we've all seen that on television, probably on the news, where somebody is trying to get some help and they're trying to locate the contractor because the shingles are falling off and the plumbing doesn't work or has been put in backwards or something is wrong, the heating doesn't work. And that's sad, and I always feel sorry for them. How would you like to take your life savings and put it down on a house only to have the thing to fall apart on you? And that's sad, and I feel sorry for them. But let me tell you something that's much worse than that. That is when marriages fall apart. And when homes fall apart. And that's why we're preaching this series on Bible blueprints for better homes. And today, we want you to turn to Ephesians 5, if you will. And we'll begin with verse 21, reading through chapter 6, verse 4. And I'm preaching on the subject of building a home that will not fall apart. Building a home that will not fall apart. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. You follow as I read these verses, and we'll be going back to them as we go along in the message today. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How are we going to have homes that do not fall apart? There is a formula, and that formula is always found in God's Word. I am convinced that if people will go by the Word of God, they can have a happy marriage, and God's blessings can be on them. It's a sad thing. George Barna, is the president and founder of the Barna Research Group, and they are recognized as one of the very best. A lot of big companies use them. Use his organization to do marketing research. And this is a recent and exact quote from George Barna. It was in our devotional material here recently, and also you can find this on the internet. But he made this statement, a according to his research, divorce rates among conservative Christians. Now listen to what I'm saying. Divorce rates among conservative Christians are significantly higher than for other faith groups. That is, any others called Christians that are outside the real conservative groups. They are higher, or significantly higher, than for other faith groups. Watch this. And for atheists, that is, those who do not believe in God, and agnostics who say, I doubt seriously if there is a God, prove it to me. The divorce rate among conservative, Bible-believing Christians is significantly higher, according to his research, than those that are liberal and those that are atheist and those that are agnostic. I'm telling you, that's sad. That is sadder than losing a house where the lumber falls down. Tom Ellis, and I'm not sure that we can accept every detail of his research. I think there's some factors in there that we need to look at, like the atheist group is not as large, and usually you're going to have more fallout the larger the organization, so the more people. There are a number of factors that enter that, but be that as it may, it's still disturbing, no matter how you look at it. Tom Ellis is the chairman of the Southern Baptist Convention Council on the Family, and he says that the Barna poll is inaccurate, because many people contacted may have called themselves born-again Christians, and really they haven't previously committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are Christians in name only, and there are many people that are like that. They're really not living for the Lord, and they really haven't made a genuine commitment. And this is a direct quote from him. We believe there's something more to being a Christian. Just saying you're a Christian is not going to guarantee that your marriage is going to stay together. And I say amen to that. There are a lot of people who join the church who've never been born again. They get into the church, and they sometimes get into conservative churches, Bible-believing churches, and they're really not saved, and so they have a different outlook on what goes on. But let me share with you very quickly, in the time we have, in the next couple of hours, three Bible principles about how to build your house so it will not fall apart. One thing we've got to have, number one, is gravity. We've got to have gravity. And that begins with fearing God. In verse 21, the latter part of that verse, he says, well, the whole verse, submitting yourself one to another, how? In the fear of God. That's where it all begins, folks. It is in fearing, that is, respecting, reverencing Almighty God. Christ is the one who has the gravity to pull everything together so that it will be like it should be. It must start with Christ. It must start with God, the fear of God, being born again, being saved. And Christ is the one that pulls it all together so that it holds like it should hold. To husbands, in verse 25, he says, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. There it is. Husbands, as Christ loved the church. Go back to Christ. As Christ loved the church. Wife, verse 22, he says, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. It goes back to Jesus. Honor your husbands. Obey him as unto the Lord. Children, in chapter 6, verse 1, what does he say? As he's talking about it, obey your parents how? In the Lord. It goes right back to Jesus. And parents, bring them up in the nurture and admonition, in verse 4, of whom? Of the Lord. You see where it all begins? Husbands, the Lord. Wives, it's the Lord. And children, it's the Lord. And parents, it's the Lord. We have to let him be the gravity that pulls the family together in every relationship in that home. And that's the only way it's going to work. And Christ pulls everything together. Christ has to be the center of the gravity that is holding things together. The preeminent one in that home. There are a lot of things trying to pull the home apart. I mean, our society is not given to the home anymore. Our culture is not conducive to having good, strong homes anymore. And so it is, there are all kinds of things trying to pull the family apart. Finances, having financial problems. Boy, that'll mess up a home very quickly. That's why some of you need plastic surgery, amen? Yeah. And it's not just the women that need it either. You need to take those credit cards and cut them up and work primarily on a cash basis. Now, financing a home is a good investment usually, but most of the rest of it isn't. And work on that, because finances pull against the home and we think we've got to have everything, and next thing you know, we're behind the eight ball financially. That will tear down a home. And you need to be careful with that. A lot of pleasures work against the home. A lot of things that are out there, ambition works against the home. You have men that are women in some cases, more so even now than they used to be, trying to make a name for themselves. Ambition, I'm trying to achieve, trying to excel, trying to get to the top. And if it means my marriage is messed up, so be it, as long as I get up here. Listen, there are some things more important than achieving the rungs and the next rung of the ladder of so-called success in our society. The home is far more important than that. Ambition. Some men become workaholics, and they work and work and work and work themselves into an early grave, into a nervous breakdown almost. I've shared this story with you before, and I'll just barely touch on it again. But I remember visiting a man. He called and wanted me to come talk to him. Had two brand new Cadillacs sitting in his garage. Had all the money that he could ever spend probably in his lifetime. And he sat across from me and wept like a baby and cried and said, "I have wasted my life. I have wasted my life. And I need to get my heart right with God. I won't have long to live, but as long as I live, I want it to be different." Amen. He said, "I spent all my life trying to make money. I'd work all the overtime, work 60 hours and plus every week, do everything I could just to make money, just to have these things." And he said, "These things mean nothing to me now. I'm losing my health." But I'm telling you, friend, there's more to it than that. Work demands, school demands, all of the demands we have working against it, material gain, all of those things are pulling against the home. That's why Christ has to be the center of gravity, pulling us back to where we should be. It's a very simple illustration, but it illustrates it like this. If we could just put our Bible in the center of the living room or the main place, and then say, "Now I want everybody to gather around the Bible." And they get all around the Bible. What's going to happen? The family's going to be close. Amen? We're all going to be gathered right around the Word of God. And that's what we have to do in our homes. We have to gather around Christ. And I can tell you this, the closer you get to Christ, every family member is going to be closer to each other, and you're going to have a stronger home. And I've always likened it unto a pyramid. Somebody asked me about Dr. Barber and my relationship. When they first came here, they would say all that kind of, "How are you going to cope with him? And how is he going to cope with you? And how is he going to do?" I said, "It doesn't matter. As long as we both love Jesus Christ, we're going up and up and up together toward the point of that pyramid. And as long as he gets the glory out of our lives, that's all that matters." And it's the same way in the home. That's all that matters, is that we love one another. And Christ is the central one in our lives. So we've got to have the gravity, and then we need the glue. And I've said something about it already, but we need to leave and cleave. And that cleaving means to be glued together. And it means a glue that is sort of like an epoxy glue that glues on both sides. Not just one side, both sides. And what happens when you pull those, let's say you glue two boards together with epoxy glue. What happens when you pull it apart? Can you pull it apart? Well, yeah, you can, but it's going to tear up the board, some on both sides. And it never fit just like it should fit. And so he is saying we should leave and cleave and be glued together. And anytime there's a separation of that bond that God has given, there is destruction and there is harm. Now, the husband-wife relationship. What is the glue in that husband-wife relationship? Well, he tells us about that in verses 21 through 23. We'll look at those in just a moment. But here's the glue, ladies. Listen to me. Are you listening, ladies? Say amen. Amen. Most of you are. That's good. The Bible says, here's the glue that's going to hold your family together. It is a word that, because of NOW and many of the women's movements now that want to rule out the man and talk about staying single, all of that, they have Valentine cards now that are anti-Valentine cards, and primarily they say 95% of the people who buy those are women, and they are cards that they can give to their lover and say, I really don't want a long relationship with you. We can have a one-night stand, but I don't want a relationship with you, and so don't expect it. Anti-Valentines. You know why? That's pretty convenient, isn't it? And that's sort of the fallout of the women's movement. But here's the word. It is God's word. And it is the right word. And he says, wives, verse 22, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. There's the word, ladies. Submission. The glue that bonds a wife to the husband is submission. Don't listen to the unsaved, secular, humanistic philosophies of the world, ladies. You'll be miserable. You listen to God's word and you'll be happy. The glue is submission. I notice the women aren't saying amen. The men are. But a few men. In all seriousness, we laugh about it, but it is a serious thing. Submission is the glue that bonds a wife to the husband. Genesis 3:16, Jesus said to Eve, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now take it up with God if you don't like it. I'm just quoting God. I'm just telling you what God said, and that's what he said in verse 22. Ladies, we need some glue in the marriage, and the glue that's going to hold that marriage together is submission. If you're not a submissive wife, there's going to be serious problems in that marriage. Why? Because that's not the way God designed it. You say, well, it's so hard. If you just knew my husband is not what he should be. Well, you're the dummy that married him. It was all right when you married him, wasn't he? And now you say, he's not what he should be. You say, what am I going to do with that situation? Not what he ought to be. The Bible says, women, here's a way to win him. Win him by your submissive heart. Amen. And that's exactly what Peter said in 1 Peter 3. They are won by the wives' what? Not intellect. Not how much money you make, not what kind of clothes you wear and all of that. It is won by submission. If you want your unsaved husband to get saved, you be submissive. If you want your backslidden husband to get back in church, you be submissive. If you want that marriage to be the kind of marriage it should be in the home, you be submissive. Amen? Or oh me. Is that Bible or is that not Bible? It is Bible. It's not popular. And I have to preach what the Bible says, whether people like the popularity scheme or not. I just believe I'm bound to preach the Word of God. It is submission. Now, husbands, aren't you ladies glad I got off of that? What bonds you? What is the glue that bonds the marriage in your relationship? It's the word love. The word love. It is the bond that bonds you together. And Christ gives the example, or is the example, in verse 25. Now, husbands, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. How much? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's your admonition. There's the glue that's going to hold that home together. Husbands, love your wives. What does that mean? That means you're going to have to die to self. That means, guys, you're going to have to understand you are no longer single. You're married, and you made the choice. And you may have to give up some things. And that's all right, because love is willing to give up a lot of things. It's because of love. And if there's no love, if you do not die to self, you're not going to do that. Selfishness is the enemy of the church. And selfishness is the enemy of the home. And men, if you don't love your wives, you're not going to have a strong home. He doesn't quit there. You say, how? To what extent? Well, verse 28, In verse 33, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Guys, are you getting this? This is not sissy stuff. This is Bible stuff. This is the Word of God. And then he says in verse 33, again, I guess he figured we were hard-headed and we needed to have it repeated twice. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Not somebody else's wife, guys. Love his wife even as himself. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wife like you love yourself. In chapter 6, he talks about, or in chapter 5, he talks about the fact that there should be a nourishment that is there. You should nourish your wife. And he is very clear about doing that and about your responsibility. And he talks about that, part of it, in verse 27. And then verse 28 that we've all already mentioned. And now look at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. How many guys in this room would say, I hate myself? I hate my own flesh. If so, you need to see a psychiatrist and get that straightened out, all right? But most people are not going to say it. Guys are not going to say, well, I hate myself. I hate my body. I just want to abuse my body, mistreat my body, and not take care of my body. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. But what do? We nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord, the church. Here's what he's saying, guys. Listen, husbands. He is saying that you have a responsibility in the home to nourish your wife and to cherish your wife. Two nice words that John Wayne men don't like. We got to be tough and rough. I believe the man has to be the head of the home. But friend, God says you ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church and nourish. The word nourishing is the same as in chapter 6, verse 4. And your fathers provoke not your children wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the same word that he's using here, men. What he's saying is you have a great responsibility to train your wife to be submissive by love and to train her in the things of God. Jesus is getting the church ready without spot or wrinkle. We are to do the same thing with our wives. Bring them along in spiritual matters and get them ready to go to heaven and train and nourish them in those things. It is not your wife's responsibility, men, to take the spiritual leadership in the home. It is your responsibility to see that the wife is taught and the children are taught and that everybody comes along toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Nourish your wife. Cherish your wife. The word cherish here literally means warm. It means be kind. Keep your wife cherished. Let her know that there's a warm love for her. You say, well, I just don't believe in that lovey-dovey stuff. Well, you ought to get a good dose of it, my friend. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and it is certainly biblical. Send her some cards. Every once in a while, just out of the blue, send her some flowers. Now, she'll pass out, and she'll get up and say, what have you been up to? You know, I'm always nice to my wife on Friday, Saturday, so it won't interfere with what happens on Sunday. Because the Bible says God can't bless a man's not right with his wife, and your prayers will be affected. Amen? But we ought to take care of our wives. Poems. You should have heard some of those poems last night. I didn't know the guys had that in them to write those poems. Poems, hugs and kisses. Yeah. And sometimes it needs to be non-sexual hugging and kisses. Amen? Every time it doesn't have to lead to intimacy, except for intimacy emotionally. And that's good. Guys, we need to do that. It's biblical. It's the Word of God. It will help your home. It will help our churches that we cherish our wives. And I think that means also share the same bed. Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. Amen? We have young people in here, so I'll get off of that. But I'm telling you, men, you need to cherish your wife. And the Bible says that, wives, you don't have a right to your body outside of your husband's wishes, and vice versa. That's what he's talking about. Love your wife, guys. If you want your home to be strong and glued together, spend some time showing affection and love. Have time to show your wife that you cherish her and you're nourishing her in the things of the Lord. What about parent-children relationship? Well, the Bible has something to say about that, and I'll have to hasten at this point, but there has to be, in the home, obedience, young people, in order for the home to be what it should be. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, period. That's it. Let me tell you something. We have a lot of young people out in our congregation spread out all over today. I'm going to tell you, if you want your home to be what it should be, you obey your mother and dad. Amen. Bottom line, don't be disrespectful to them. Don't talk back to them. My soul, I wouldn't have dared to talk back to my dad. Now, I tried it on Mama a few times, but I was dead wrong, and once in a while she abused me by wearing me out. But I tell you, I learned that it didn't pay too often. I think we, you know, I'll say something about that in a little bit, but I'm telling you, kids, if you want your home to be right, you say, well, things aren't going well, and I'm at odds with my mom and daddy. It's probably because you're not obeying them. And some of you teenagers need to hit the altar today and get on your face before God and say, I have been disobeying my mother and daddy. I've had a bad attitude toward them. And God, please forgive me. I want to get the home right today. Amen. Some of you teenagers at the end of this message need to walk. If your mama's over here and you're over here, you need to walk all the way where she is, or your daddy, and get them by the hand and come down the altar and get on your knees and say, I have been wrong. Forgive me. That's the thing that's going to, the glue that's going to hold the bond, the children and the parents together. That's part of it. And he's saying that they ought to be taught in verse 4. Your fathers, provoke not the children to wrath, but teach them. You should take time to teach them. And that's all for the child's welfare. All of that. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, young people, boys and girls, if you'll obey your parents, God says, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to not only honor them, but I'm going to honor you. I'm going to bless you with a good life, and the blessings that I have are going to be up on you because you have honored your mother and your daddy. And that is good child welfare, because that's God's program to have it done. Discipline is the glue that bonds parents to the child. Obedience is what bonds the children to the parents, but discipline bonds the parents to the child. Discipline is not child abuse if it's done out of a heart of love. Amen. I said my folks disciplined me, and they did. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad that my mother spanked me from time to time. And I've told you before, I don't remember but two times my dad ever whipped me. And brother, he made a believer out of me. He didn't have to go around saying, now, Junior, don't do that again. I'm getting one, do it again, two, three, I'm coming after you. I didn't know if he even knew how to count. And I didn't care. Did I doubt his love? No, I know he loved me. And God tells us, oh, it's very simple and plain in the Word of God. But discipline is not child abuse. Don't you listen to these secular humanists that tell you that it's child abuse. Now, I'm against child abuse. Anybody that abuses a child, I have no time for them, hardly. The only hope for them is if they get born again by the grace of God, and God will save such low-down scum of the earth that are so sinful that they would abuse a child, burn them with an iron, and beat them, and lock them up in a closet, and not feed them for weeks or days, or abuse them sexually, stepfathers, and that kind of thing. God have mercy on people who are so low-down as to do that. But I'm telling you, discipline is not child abuse. And don't you let them psych you out and make you believe that discipline is wrong today. It is right because God said it is right. By nature, children are the children of wrath. Chapter 2, verse 3, I don't have time to read it. They're called children of wrath. What do you mean? They're born in sin. In chapter 5, in verse 6, the Bible says something about that. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. They're born in wrath, they're sinners, and they need to get saved. And I'm going to preach a message about that tonight, but let me tell you, they need to be disciplined, because God says they need discipline. And they are to be disciplined. Why? To be delivered from wrath. Proverbs 23:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. I believe that promise. I don't know when they'll come back, but I believe if you train them up right in the fear and admonition and the training of God, do the best you can. And yes, young people, yes, boys and girls, we make a lot of mistakes. Not on purpose, we're human beings, but we still have the mandate from God to bring you up the best we can in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that may mean discipline. It may mean give me the keys until you can get your attitude straightened out. And that's because we love you. I can always remember Mama saying, I'm going to do this because I love you. I'm not sure to this day I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. But it was awful hard to translate back in those times. So we need gravity and glue, and then the last thing, we need government. Any organization that does not have government has chaos. I don't care what kind of organization it is. A church has to have government or it has chaos. There is a order, a divine order, of leadership in the church, and if it is not followed out, the church will have chaos, and there'll be rotating pastors. About every average stay now is about 4 years in a church, a local church. But any organization, if it doesn't have government, it's going to have chaos, and there has to be a chain of command. And by the way, equality is not the issue. It's not a matter of am I equal to you and you equal to me. That is not the issue. That's not the issue in the home. Doesn't mean the wife's inferior. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus is co-equal with the Father, but he was submissive to the Father, because that was God's chain of command. Equality is not the issue. So children, you are to be subordinate to your parents. Why? Because God said so. Simple enough, bottom line. Wives, you're to be in subjection to your husbands. Why? Because God said so. In verse 23, God says so. And then husbands, why are you to love your wife and be the image of Christ, and to likewise, he talks about even a mutual submission. Why are you to love your wife and prove that love all the time and show that love all the time? Because God said so. Because that's what makes the home what it should be. Husbands, you are the image of Christ to your wife. Did you know that? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, you husbands, like Christ. And she ought to be able to see Christ in you, men. She ought to be able to see the example in your life, and you're accountable for all of that. The image of God should be seen in you, men, and husbands and wives. Your children should see the image of Christ, the image of God, as you rule, as you train them, and as you understand you're accountable to God. Let's bow our heads. Here's the message to us today. Christ must be the center. He must be the gravity that pulls. And friend, if you're not saved, it isn't going to be that way in your home. You must be born again to have Christ to be the head of your home, the foundation of your home. Get saved today. Don't put it off. That may be the biggest problem you're having in that relationship. Or if you're out of God's will, men or ladies, that's the problem. Christ and his teachings are the glue and his personality that holds the marriage together. Wives, listen one more time. Doesn't mean you're a second-rate citizen, but wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Husbands, listen one more time. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Children, one more time. Obey your parents in the Lord. It all centers around the Lord. And I can tell you, God will honor his chain of command, and your home will not fall apart if we'll just simply do what God tells us to do. Let's stand, please, while our heads are still bowed. Father, speak in a very special way right now to our hearts. I know you've already used your word, and I know the Holy Spirit has caused it to ring true to our hearts and our consciences. But even in this invitation, may you draw, may you speak to wives and husbands and our precious teenagers and our boys and girls about what it takes to have the glue in the home, the gravity in the home, the government that is set up that is necessary. And Lord, we want to have strong homes. May it not be said, oh God, may it not be said of Worth Baptist Church that we're worse off than the atheists and agnostics in our homes. Give us that glue and help us to do what the Bible says so our homes will not fall apart. In Jesus' name, I pray.